You missed the party of this morning. We brought 21 people into the church this morning. Yesterday we brought 3 and last week we brought 1. So there are 26 new people that have joined here at the Newman Center over the last week. So really exciting stuff that the Lord's doing and that I get to be privileged to be a part of. This evening, Doubting Thomas is what he's coined as, Doubting Thomas. He's not there when Jesus says twice, peace be with you. The Jews, they're in the upper room, his disciples' upper room. This is not what we would expect. If you were left on a cross for dead and betrayed, what would be the first words out of your mouth towards your friends that left you there? Probably wouldn't be peace be with you. And yet this is the reversion of what the Lord's capable of. This is like the Lord giving humanity and our hearts another spot, another direction. No matter how good or how bad Lent was for us, the Lord is still coming into your heart this evening and telling you, peace be with you. Not as the Lord gives you peace do I give it to you, but peace, because Jesus is the only Son of God. That's very clear by the end of this Gospel of Luke. Very clear. I write this so that you who have not seen may believe. Our hearts from time to time will doubt God's goodness. Think of Martha and Mary when their brother Lazarus passed. Think of Thomas. Even tonight, doubting Thomas, doubting, did the Lord really come back? And did he really say, peace be with you? I'm not going to do anything unless I put my hands in his hands. I will not believe. Martha and Mary, she says, but even, I know that if, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. That is a doubt out of pain, out of losing her brother. But she continues with the doubt into, but I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. The thing about our anger, our stress, our anxiety, our joys, our hopes, our fears, it's not that we have them, it's what we do with them. Do we bring it to the one that can bring peace to anything, or do we keep it ourselves and make it a self-help project? I'm going to solve my own issues. Or am I going to allow the Lord into my life, into my locked upper room, and allow him to speak his words to me? You are loved. I do care for you. I am your refuge. I am your strength. You are my beloved one. I have chosen you from the foundation of the world to follow me. This morning, I sealed a whole bunch of students with the cross. When a Roman soldier was put into the guard, they would take a brand and they would literally brand his shoulder out of a fire, saying, you're now part of us. You can't walk away. You and I, because of confirmation, because of our baptism, have the responsibility to be with the Lord, to walk with the Lord, and to have others come into that journey with us. Today we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. How far does divine mercy go? I forget what his first name is, but Commander Rudolph. He was the chief commander of Auschwitz. And he got so good at killing people that he got promoted and promoted and promoted. He refined the gas chambers to mass murder millions. By his technology alone, 1.2 to 2.5 million people lost their life. There's a documentary that my brother priest out in DC, he went to the documentary, and it's a documentary of, they never see the camp. It's just his family growing up outside the walls. He met with a priest before he was hung at Auschwitz. He celebrated the sacrament of confession before he was hung. That's a glimpse into how forgiving God is. Into how much he wants peace to reside in your heart now and for eternity. We get so locked up in fear of what other people think, of what is going to happen, that we don't just sit in the stillness of, I love you. And you exist, and you are good. Most of us try to find our treasure elsewhere. St. Augustine would say, I was looking for you without, but you are within. I was trying to find you in power and pleasure, in glory and fame and honor. Not realizing that you and I are the gift to be given away. The more I fill myself up with anxiety and stress and fear and whatever else, and power and money and blah, 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 all that bombards us every single time we turn on the radio or watch a TV show or whatever. The Lord is simply calling him ourselves back to himself all the time. From his pierced hands and pierced side. Lastly, have you ever gotten something in your eye? What's the last thing you want to do when you get something in your eye? Open your eye. The first thing that a kid does when they get hurt, try to like hold it together themselves. Mom's like, I want to see it. No, you can't. Nope, don't. The Lord shows us the exact opposite with his wounds. He's resurrected. He could have hidden his wounds away. He's got a resurrected body. He could have been glorious. And yet he still has his hands and his feet and his side to be the one thing that all of us fear, vulnerable. To be vulnerable before those whom he loved. He's vulnerable for you and for me in his woundedness so that I can place my woundedness within his woundedness. And he can show me how because he did it first. Not only is Thomas able to put his hands, but he's also saying, I doubted last week, but now my Lord and my God, exalting phrase of the Lord that did not happen the week before. My Lord and my God. You and I have nothing to fear. Jesus has conquered everything we could possibly be afraid of. We're willing to be vulnerable back. Divine Mercy Sunday gives us that opportunity to bring ourselves to the Lord as we are and to say, my Lord and my God.